Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Patriots Report, part of the Believe Network, joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hogue, and I'm Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast and tell all of your friends who are Patriots fans to do the same. You can also watch us on Believe TV around the country, in airports, and on YouTube. Also, make sure to check out my Patriots coverage in the Boston Globe and bostonglobe.com. This episode of the Patriots Report is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, with MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Today on the Patriots Report, Chris Hogan and I break down each member of New England's latest draft class, figure out how they fit when it comes to the overall depth chart, and look at which first-year player outside of quarterback Drake May will have the greatest impact on the 2024 team. That's all up right now, only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, the draft is in the books. And I thought it was interesting that we thought about, hey, you know, are they going to make eight picks? They're going to make more than eight picks, less than eight picks. After one trade, they ended up making eight picks. So there we are, eight new members of the Patriots. I want to get into them here pick by pick. And we can just kind of break them down individually. Obviously, first round, number three overall, quarterback out of North Carolina, Drake May. The big question up here right now, setting aside his college tape, what he was able to do, does he look like a guy who should sit initially, or are you throwing him in there on day one? Obviously, look, a lot of it's going to depend on what happens over the summer and the preseason, but my feeling right now is he should sit to start the season.
I mean, I don't really know. I mean, listen, we drafted this kid to be a quarterback, to come in here and play. He's a first round draft pick. He's not just some guy we picked up off free agency or later on the draft. I think we'll have to see how it goes. You know, we got a lot of time from now, you know, until the end of August when we start the season. So a lot can happen. They're going to do some serious evaluating, and he's going to get first team reps. Let's understand that right now. I mean, he's going to get thrown into that first team, you know, position swing, you know, whether he's splitting time with him and Jacoby, or any of those guys, they want to see what he can do, and they're not going to be able to see it unless he's out there getting the reps. So he's going to get all the opportunities in the world from now and, you know, into mini camps, into, you know, the rest of OTAs, and then going into training camp. I think it's really how much information can he, you know, can he take this all in, right? Like, how much can he progress? I mean, he played at the college level, which is here, and he's got to take like a million steps to get to that. I mean, listen, I'm being a little dramatic here, but he's got to take some big steps, yeah, you know, to win that starting position. By no means has he won the starting job. I think we can put that out there. I think that if he comes in and he's struggling a little bit and he's not really picking things up as quickly as, you know, Van Pelt and Gerard, you know, everyone wants to see, you know, all right, well, then maybe let's sit him. Let's let him continue to grow, develop a little bit, put Jacoby out there. Jacoby's very capable of winning football games. He's done it. He's been in New England before. He knows what's expected, you know, even though it's a new coaching regime, you know, it's still the same expectations. That I don't think that's going to change. So I think we'll see. You know, listen, I watched some of this kid's film. The one thing that I am excited about is his ability to throw the ball over the middle of the field. That to me, it tells me that he's seeing the field. He's not just looking outside to his, you know, to his fast guys or his big guys or number one targets. He's going through his progressions. He's able to kind of see things. So that's a big thing, coming from college to the NFL, just because so much happens in between the lines, right? You're going to take your shots down the field. You're going to have stuff outside the numbers, but you know, go, you know, a lot of stuff happens over the middle of the field, and you need a guy that needs to, that can A, see it, B, throw on time, and C, not get your guys killed, you know, because things happen a lot faster. And you don't want a quarterback, you know, throwing a 20 yard dig route halfway across the middle of the field where the backside safety is coming in, and, you know, we're making a phone call, you know, to so-and-so's mom and dad, you know, like we don't need that. So, you know, I'm excited about him. Did we get our second choice?
I think it was the second choice, at least as far as we were concerned. We were both and Jaden going into the draft, so. And Jaden goes second overall to Washington. So, look, I think this is okay. I do. I was on, and we talked about this before. I like Drake May. I love Jaden Daniels. So that should not be taken as a condemnation of Drake May here. I think there are two things for me that initially come to mind. I want Jacoby Brissett, regardless of what happens in the summer, to start the season, because he's going to, you know, the quarterback position, this, it's going to be a rough stretch here at the start of the year for this offense. A lot of new faces, trying to get up to speed, trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work. And I think Jacoby's probably better equipped to do that, at least right now at this stage of his career, than Drake May is. The other thing too, Elliott Wolf comes from a place where they're experts in knowing when to start the young quarterback. Yeah. And if you are faced with a relatively, and I'm putting number quote fingers here, relatively soft part of the schedule, let's say post Thanksgiving, maybe there's an opportunity there for Drake to be able to come in, start a couple of games, and build a little level of confidence going into 2025.
Yeah,
I think that for me is a realistic scenario, a realistic level of expectation for this young guy. I don't want to throw him in there right out of there. Yeah. I don't care how good he is. I think that he could get his ass kicked the first month of the season, and that could puncture his confidence, and then everything kind of goes sideways. I think that if there's a clear runway for him, I think that's one of the things that has to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, listen, but a lot's dependent on Jacoby's ability to go out there and play good football as well. I mean, if there's going to be – Jacoby goes out there and doesn't do well, you know, there's going to be the pressure, you know, that just – tack that on, because you're going to be hearing it from all angles. You're going to be hearing it from us. You're going to be hearing it from the fans. You're going to be hearing it from the front office. I mean, everyone's going to be like, okay, you know, like, we drafted this kid, you know, he was, you know, we're investing a lot of money into him, and like, he's supposed to be the guy. Like, let's find out if he can be the guy. I'm with you. And, you know, I don't want to see, I've seen that before. I've seen guys go in and get thrown into it right away, and, you know, new offensive line, you know, new receivers, new running backs. Things really aren't going very well. All of a sudden he's seeing ghosts for the rest of his career, and, you know, doesn't really trust his God-given abilities anymore. And I think that's what you don't want to happen. So I think you put him in a position to be successful in this mini camp, and then going into training camp, I think that you really, you know, dial it in for this kid, man. I mean, listen, do you want it to make it hard? Yes. You want it to be hard. You want to find out what type of kid this, like, what type of player is this? Is he going to be? Is he going to crumble underneath pressure? Let's find out, like, pretty soon. I'd rather know now than later. Yeah. But, like, also, let's script some good things for him here, so to get his, build his confidence up, you know, get him out there, get him some completions during training camp and in the offseason and then into the preseason. Like, he needs to see that. He needs to be successful. We want him to be successful. So I think there's ways to kind of script that success a little bit for him early on. And hopefully that, you know, that confidence that we can hopefully build will carry on into the preseason and then into the regular season, whether he's going out there day one or he's going out there midway through the season. You know, like, I think that's a decision that we can't, you know, I'm not totally comfortable making right now, because if he goes out and listen, he's doing everything that we're asking him to do, and he's making the right plays, and all of a sudden he goes out in the preseason and kid looks like a starter. It's like, well, like, now we're kind of, you're forcing our hand here to throw you out there. And he just has to understand, like, preseason, like college, right? Then it's like preseason. It's like regular season games, man. That is different speed, different level. Stuff matters. And you're going to be, you know, you got to go four quarters with the bet, you know, they're one. So I think there's a lot of time from now until we get to that point. And he's got, I mean, listen, he's got a lot of learning to do. He's got a lot of growth to go through over the next couple months. And, you know, kid seems like he's got a good head on his shoulder. So I hope that he just kind of comes in there ready to work.
We have another quarterback here in the picture that we will get to shortly that I know you have strong feelings about. And it took only maybe 5 or 10 minutes after he was picked in the sixth round for Sports Talk Radio to say, well, maybe, you know, he's part of the starters conversation here too. You know, if Drake May or Jacoby Brissett struggles, we'll get to that. We'll get to him. Maybe the most intriguing pick on the board, at least as far as I'm concerned. We'll get to him shortly here. But let's go to the second round. Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington. I've written down here my very first thought after watching him and thinking about how he fits into this offense. He is a classic number two wide receiver. He is a great, he looks to be, if everything works out perfectly, he looks to be a perfect complementary wide receiver. He's not a number one. He's not a big body X, but he is one of those guys who is a smart route runner. He's tough. He's strong. He's durable. He's versatile. He can do a lot of different things. This is a young guy who can come in and be an instant impact on this offense. I'm not saying he's going to be overwhelming offensively, but this is a guy who you can count on, again, if everything works out perfectly, 40, 50 catches this season.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's an early success thing that can kind of carry on into the season. Playing receiver in the NFL is a different beast, man. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. So all these kids got great highlight tapes. They all make a lot of plays. They're all were the best receiver on their team. You know, he's got to come ready to work. And all of these kids that we drafted, every single kid that got taken over the course of the last weekend, you know, they need to make big strides, right? And they want to step on the field day one. They need to take those strides. And as a second rounder, there's higher expectations. And I think, you know, listen, you're in New England. There's there's great film to watch. You got good guys to learn from. Troy Brown's there. You know, like there's plenty of things. There's so much there for you to learn, you know, just dive right into it. That's like that's my one piece of advice for these younger guys. Like, don't just expect to be running routes against, you know, all of these corners and for them not to win sometimes. Like, you're going to lose, like, especially when Stephon signs with us in August and he comes to training camp. You know, like, that's what you got to get ready for that. And that competition's got to go way up. So I am excited. I'm happy that we took a receiver. I'm happy that we got some talent surrounding this kid. You know, I hope that these kids can come in and make an impact, you know, right away. Really, really right away.
They went back to back offensive line with the next two picks. Keaton Wallace at the start of the third round, and then Laydon Robinson in the fourth. These two guys, I don't want to dive too deep into it because I think you can get lost in the weeds when you're talking about offensive line play a little bit, but it feels like they were a little bit late to the party when it came to that run on offensive tackles. There were like five offensive tackles taken at the end of the second round, and I don't know if they necessarily got the guy they were looking for, but I think it's a draft, you know, warning that, you know, if you're in the market for a tackle and all of a sudden five tackles are taken, you know, a dozen or so picks in front of you.
Yeah, I
tend to think that while this guy is good, maybe they could have traded up a little bit and got the guy they were looking for. So I don't want to go too deep in the woods. I don't know if you have anything particular that stands out about these two guys for you, other than their versatility.
The one guy is he played center a little bit in college too, right?
Yeah.
So, I love the guys kind of interior that are able to kind of be a little bit versatile. You know, I think when you talk about tackles, you're looking for a left, you're looking for a right, you know, guys kind of do one way or the other. When you talk about guards, centers, kind of guys you can kind of plug and play, right? I think going into training camp and going into these mini camps with as much talent as we can on the offensive line side of things, like, that's only going to benefit us. We can find the group that meshes the best together, and we go from there. You know, I think there's got to be, it's got to be constant, right? It's got to be just this constant wheel that's spinning and trying new guys here, new guys there, new groups together. I don't think we can just get locked in five guys right from day one. I just don't, I don't think that we have that right now. And I think that we just need to find the group that meshes the best together, especially when you have, for all intent purposes, we have two new quarterbacks, right? Jacoby, he's got a relationship with some of these guys. You know, he's been around David Andrews before. I think that's probably it, so these guys are coming into a brand new offensive line. They don't know them. They've never played with them. So you got it. Let's really, really mix it up, especially now, like in mini camp, in the OTAs, early on in training camp. And then like, hopefully going into training camp, we really do know, all right, listen, this is our five, this is our six or seven guys, that we really want to play together. These guys mesh the best together. They communicate the best together. And, they've come together as a unit, and they work well with Jacoby or Drake or Joe Milton, whoever it is. So, we go from there. So I know we were so, skill happy with this draft and we wanted the skill players, but you can't forget about the guys up front that are doing the dirty work every single play and keeping your quarterback off his back. So, that was important. Whether or not these guys are the guys we wanted, they obviously had the grade that they were up there. So, I'm hoping that these guys can take some big strides too, because I think that's a position where a rookie can come in and play well. I do think that.
There are really, in my mind, only two spots that you know for sure along the offensive line, at least at this point. That's David Andrews and Michael Wenyu at right tackle. And can we just talk about, I guess it's not all that surprising, but can we just talk about how awesome it was that David Andrews reached out to Drake May, like on the plane, and has already FaceTimed with him and has already talked with him hours into his Patriots career?
Yeah, I mean, that says everything you need to know about David Andrews right there, right? He gets it. David's been around a long time and he's won championships. He's won a lot of football games and he's been the guy, and he's been a guy that's worked his way up to being a captain of this team. Even when the likes of Tom Brady and Julian and Matthew, like, he was one of the captains of the team. Someone that had a voice in the locker room, someone that people looked to make decisions. And that does not surprise me at all that he was one of the first guys to reach out to Drake. I think that he's excited that we were able to, go out, draft a quarterback. He seems excited about Jerod and, this whole new organization that we've kind of started. I think it's a fresh start for him, getting rid of last year. It's a fresh start for a lot of these guys. So, that's the type of stuff that you look from, with a guy that's been a captain of your team for a long time to welcome these rookies in and, kind of show them the ropes, like this is not a cakewalk. This is not going to be easy, right? But hey, I'm glad you're here. Like, let's go to effing work. We got stuff to do.
In the post Bill Belichick era, with no Devin McCourty and no Matthew Slater, I would put to you that even if his play drops off a little bit this year, he is one of the five most important guys on that roster.
100%.
Not only for what he represents as the center, obviously the captain of the offensive line, but from everything from a leadership perspective, from an intangibles perspective, it is so vital to keep him around.
I can tell you the captains right now.
Yeah.
David Andrews, Joe Cardona, Jabril Peppers, and what's his name?
Kendrick Bourne.
I'm a Kendrick Bourne. I'm a big, big fan.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet.
I don't think he's a captain yet. Okay.
How about Hunter?
Judon. Yeah, those are your captains, right there.
You put Henry in the mix at all, Hunter Henry?
Nah, I think that offensive side, you have David. I think special teams, you got Joe, and I think Jabril and Matthew. I mean, I think those guys really, those guys did more than enough last year, especially Judon getting hurt and being around the team and being there. Like, he didn't have to do that. He really doesn't. Like, when you get hurt in the NFL, a lot of times you're forgotten about, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're not playing on Sundays. You're not a part of anything else, but he was there headset on helping his guys. And he, that's what captains do. So those are your captains right there.
I like this exercise. This is something we should have done before. Name who's going to be the captain on this year's team.
Yeah.
I like that. That makes good sense. They didn't have a fifth round pick. And so let's jump ahead to the sixth round. Cornerback Marcellus Dial out of South Carolina, who again, kind of writing down little, you know, notes here. This is a guy, the only defensive guy they took. This is a guy who on the surface projects as a special teamer to start his career. And your point last week, I think it's a good one. And I think it deserves to be reiterated. Look, man, you're a rookie. Just come in here, whatever you need me to do.
Yep.
And this feels like, especially, you know, we keep talking about, you know, Stephon Gilmore's return. We continue to speak it into existence. It's a crowded cornerback room with the guys that they have coming back.
Yeah, it always is.
And so I think this young man would be well served by not just focusing on his craft as a corner, but thinking about how can I contribute on special teams going forward.
Yeah, I mean, especially as a, you know, sixth, seventh round guy. I mean, that's borderline undrafted. You know, after, you know, once you get down to that, these are guys that are you obviously scouted. You have some feelings about. You like the guy. Probably sees a lot of potential in the kid, and the quickest way to get on the field and get that experience is through special teams. And a lot of these younger kids are really going to have that opportunity. They're going to have the opportunity to get on the special teams. You know, hopefully they're able to do it well so they can take, you know, a playoff for one of their veteran guys that really, if we need them out there, I guarantee all those guys will be out there, but it's nice to be able to have some younger kids that you can count on that are just going to create chaos on some of the, on the defensive plays of special teams and be able to make some plays on the offensive side of things and just be accountable to that sort of thing. So, that's sixth, seventh, undrafted, all of those guys you're coming into this team. I mean, the first guy I'm going to meet right is special teams coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first door that I'm knocking on. It's like, hey, introduce myself. What do you need me to do? And I think knowing that, and listen, yeah, sure. Is that, you got to kiss ass a little bit, but sure. Well, I mean, listen, you're trying to make a football team, man. There's 53 spots on this team. You got 90 guys in the locker room. Like, people are getting cut. People are losing jobs and dreams are getting snatched. Like, you got to do everything that you can to make this football team. And the more that you can do, the more valuable you will be to that team or to any team.
Because at the end of the day, there are going to be injuries.
Yep.
We saw this last year. The first one that comes to mind right off the top of my head is the Dallas game where Christian Gonzalez goes down and they're already thin at cornerback and Miles Bryant lining up opposite CeeDee Lamb. You just, you never know. So hang around by any means necessary. And chances are at some point you're going to get your shot. One more cornerback thing for you. A colleague of mine swears he talked to JC Jackson working out at a Planet Fitness, the Boston area. So no, not Stephon, not yet. He could be part of the picture here as well going into 2024. There's a lot of possibilities out there. You talk about the Joneses, Marcus Jones, John Jones, JC Jackson, Gilmore, Gonzalez, now the new guy, Marcellus. There's a lot of possibilities here, and you have to do what you can do to make your mark.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get to it. I know you have a lot of feelings. Sixth round quarterback out of Tennessee, a guy who can throw the ball to the moon and back. Cool. Joe Milton, who for me, I applaud them for taking a big swing.
Sure.
Because this is a raw can be guy who just has all the arm strength in the world. They're already calling him Bazooka Joe. The idea of him as a gadget guy, look, I think the possibility of him making the roster to start the season is slim.
Not at a quarterback. Best.
Yeah, and he's going to be, I think he's going to catch the Foxborough flu and go on IR for the year. And they're going to say, look, go and work on your short and intermediate stuff and come back in 2025 and we'll see what we have with you. But you have we texted back and forth with us here. You had some very strong feelings on this pick.
Unfortunately, we do this for a team that drafted a guy in the sixth round and he became one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. So it's kind of, Yeah, you know, I was rethinking my text messages. Like, God, this kid, why am I'm writing this kid off like right away, because just saying that he can throw the ball a mile away from where he's at. I think that there's a real possibility that he's not a quarterback. I think that they
Not
might
according
try.
to him,
I
he's
think
not. Not that's the thing.
I think that he might be in that tight end room when they start to, like, when they go into training camp. I think that he might be one of those kind of, like you said, gadget guys that, okay, let's sit in here for the day, or let's trial you out here at tight end or something. I mean, he's a big dude, man, and like he's very, I'm not taking the athleticism, all of that stuff, all the intangibles, he's got all of that. That's all there. So it was an interesting pick. I thought maybe we could have kind of snagged maybe another skill player, but maybe he is a skill player. Maybe that's what he turns out to be. Or maybe he's the steal of the draft and he turns out to be a phenomenal quarterback. It was one that I scratched my head on, and then I did a little bit of thinking and I said, you know what? Like, give the kid a chance, right? I mean, he's obviously played at a high level in college. He has a freaking tremendous arm. I mean, we all know that. So let's kind of see how the cookie crumbles, right? Like, no one really knows. We're not gonna know until he gets out there and puts pads on and starts doing the thing. Making that transition to a different position is very hard, but maybe that's something that they're worth investing the time into. So that could be. And listen, we've done it before in this, and a lot of other places, right? Quarterbacks that are athletic, try them out at receiver. Trial him out at tight end. Like, that could be an avenue for him, that maybe he's, a big body guy, someone that we can throw in the red zone, someone we can do some different things with. He obviously's got, he's got big hands, and super athletic. So, we'll kind of see what the plan is for him. But like, according to Gerard, with who gave his best Bill response, of yet, was, he just was creating competition in an already crowded room. And I don't see him getting many opportunities at quarterback,
That's the
especially
thing.
you drafted one guy overall, in the third pick. So there's all your, he's getting all the reps. And like, I don't think that you're really going to give the sixth rounder reps, just because, like, I mean, he's going to get a few in minicamp. He's going to get a few in the veteran minicamp. And then I don't even know if he'll get any in training camp,
Well,
just
the
because you have
opportunity
all those
sessions.
guys.
For me, in this, I tweeted this out, the opportunity sessions, those workouts that take place at the very end of camp where guys can hop in and
If he's still, if
that,
Drott still does that, that's 100%.
yeah, I mean, that's going to be must see TV if you can get this kid in there. The other thing too is we asked him on the post-draft conference call, like, do you see yourself as anything other than a quarterback? And he says no. He has no interest in a positional move. And so I don't know. It maybe feels a little bit like we're walking into a bit of a Malik Cunningham situation, like we had last year, where
Failed
let's
experiment.
see what he can do. Let's put him in a couple of different spots and, go from there, like you said.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we could definitely be living in that world where he's going to be a gadget guy, right? Read option, get him out in the open field. I don't love the whole idea of like having a guy that can just come in for gadgets, right? Because listen, he's either gonna A, he's in there for a chunk play where he's just going to try to bomb the ball 75, 80 yards, or however far he can throw it. Or he's going to be, that read option kind of play. So I don't know. But like, again, how many opportunities is he going to get? I just don't think there's going to be a ton. So I think it's really, like you said, Foxborough flu. I think it's really more that this is an investment. Let's kind of, he's the development guy. Let's keep him on the practice squad. A guy that's got a good arm, someone that can obviously hopefully step up and do the things that we need him to do during the season, kind of see how he develops. And then next year, judging on, him and how he does, like, who knows? Then maybe he's coming in and he's actually doing, he's competing for, a job.
See
So
the
who
video of him
knows?
throwing the orange?
I've seen all the videos
100
of him
yards.
throwing things really far.
I want to be able to
And
if he's willing to do this, I'm working for a TV station. I'm one of those where like, I'll hand him a tomato during training camp. Like, how far can you throw this tomato? You know, how far can you throw this bolt? You know, just any,
just for clicks.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's fascinating. I just think it's fascinating.
Dude, he's got a frick. He's got some talent. He's got a talented arm, man. There's
he
no
can
one's
play a little
that.
Bit. You know, he played at a high level and he could just flick it out there and it goes 50 yards.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if I have you. Who was the
Listen, I'm not writing you off, kid. Okay, if you're listening or if you do hear this, I'm not writing you off at all. I'm wishing you all the success in the world, and I hope that I sit here in 3 months from now after you made this roster, and I have to swallow every single word that I ever said, and nothing would make me happier. So that goes out to Joe Millen, because as an undrafted guy, been there, done that. So,
who was the strongest arm quarterback you ever played with?
Cap.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah. When I was in San Francisco when I first came out, I mean, this dude, I mean, he had no chill. He had to learn. Like, you're coming across the middle and he's literally trying to take your head off. But he had a strong, and he was that unorthodox baseball pitcher type motion throw that just like, I mean, he could zip it, man. He definitely had one of the strongest arms that I was ever around.
All right, let's move on to the seventh round. Jaheim Bell, tight end out of Florida State. And the one word I have to describe him here is depth. The Patriots lost two tight ends this offseason. And there's going to be an opportunity. Again, maybe this is a callback to what we were talking about with Marcellus Dial, where get in there, work on special teams, and find your way from that point. Because, you know, you might be able to, with no Mike Gesicki, with no Farrell Brown on the roster, there's going to be some opportunity. It's not going to be a lot of opportunity, but it's up to you to make the most of it.
100%. I mean, there's not many people in that room right now. I got to imagine that we'll probably add a few more bodies in there come training camp. But as of right now, there's going to be opportunities, because you're not going to try to destroy Henry, go all the way up to the season. He's going to get his reps, and then, he'll probably be on a pitch count, knowing that, he's really the guy right in that room. So I think you have to be smart as a coaching staff and as an organization. Like, let's not, I know that we got a new staff and new playbook and new, we want to be out there and get all the opportunities, but there's other ways of doing it. Walkthroughs, jogthroughs, stuff that we can do to get the reps, and let them get the most ones that you need to see. And then, making sure that he's just kind of mentally in it the entire time, and then let the young guy go. Let's see what he's got. This kid could come in and he could, provide some real depth to a position where we need depth. And hopefully can, plug and play into some of the special team stuff. And now he's all of a sudden, he's won himself a roster spot just because he's able to play tight end. He can come in the two tight end sets. He blocks well, and then he can play special teams. Like, special teams, we don't really know what's going to happen this year just because we've added this whole new kickoff thing. Like, I don't know how coaches are going to play this. Are we going to put all fast guys up there? Are we going to put all skill players? Are we going to put big guys? Like, I'm sure coaching, the special teams coaches are all, they're going back. They're watching as much film as they can in, in Canada and how they do it, because like, that's our only way of knowing of really what this is going to kind of look like. And then, we'll kind of see how, if he can, work his way into one of those spots. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for him. So it'll be for him, it's going to be about making the most of those opportunities for sure.
All right. Last question for me. Outside of Drake May, which guy on this list has the best chance of making a significant impact on the 2024 roster? I'm going with one of the two wide receivers.
Yeah.
I think Polk is the kind of guy who just is pro ready. And again, what we talked about before, the versatility, the skill set, the size, the college tape, it all suggests that he's going to be able to come in this year and have an impact. I do think long term, man, it's like Mayo and Wolf were listening to what you were talking about a couple of weeks ago, where it was like, look, just come in, just give me a wide receiver who doesn't care.
Yeah.
Who wants to line up, opposite the best corner. Look, the thing I love the most about Baker, one of the things I love the most about Baker, his Twitter bio, at the top of his Twitter bio, in capital letters, it says, "I hate DBs." I love that attitude.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Baker. Listen, there's confidence and there's cocky, right? I think he's got a little bit of both, which I don't hate. And you have to have a little, you have to have that in this league, especially this position, when you're battling out against guys like Jalen Ramsey and Stephon and all these guys that are going to talk as much trash as they can and try to get inside your head. Like, so for him, I want him to come in and continue with this. Like, don't let this go away. Don't let this confidence fade. Don't let this cockiness fade. Like, I think we all like it. I think that's kind of what we want out of a receiver, and someone to come in, someone that wants to step up, someone that wants the ball. So he's got, again, like, you know, all these kids, you know, they got to take some major steps and in growth and development. But, you know, I think both receivers, they look the part and they can play the part. Study the playbook, right? Know the playbook. Don't be that guy. That's my advice, right? This is not something that you can come in where we're signaling plays and drawing up huge poster cards to show you what play you're running. Like, that's not the case anymore. So the mental side of this thing is going to be huge for both of them, and their ability to dive into that playbook, understand, play different positions, be able to get put in different spots, understand all the formations, all the side adjustments, all these little things that make such a big difference and getting out there on the field, just so you're able to continue to play fast the way that you want to play. Don't let the playbook slow you down. So that's my advice to these guys. It's my advice to all these young guys is you guys are here for a reason. You're a good football player. We drafted you because you're a good football player. No one doubts that, but don't let the playbook be the one thing that gets in your way of getting on the field, you know, cause it's a lot. I mean, NFL playbooks, you know, you gotta understand a lot of different things, you know, you know, I'm sure that they're going to get, you know, X or Z receiver. They're going to give them a small sample size of things to be. But, you know, if you want to be very good in this league and you want to have, you know, get a lot of opportunities, know every single position, you know, and be able to get put in different spots. I think Baker is definitely one of those guys that can move around and have an impact inside and outside.
Javon Baker, I make people in wheelchairs stand up.
Yeah.
Best quote of the draft.
I love it.
New England Patriots. There's a little bit of Steve Smith there. I do. Yeah. I think there's a little, and I want to be careful with that comp because Steve Smith is who he is, but there's a little bit of Steve Smith there.
Bring that tenacity, man.
It's a throwback to what we were talking about before, where it's like you want someone who's going to be a problem. And if it all goes well, I know that's a bit of a contradictory statement. If it all goes well, Javon Baker is going to be a problem for the rest of the National Football League. Chris Hogan, thank you very, very much for your time again, my friend. Take care, and we will talk again early next week.
All right, Chris, thanks.
Hey, everyone, thanks for listening. One more reminder, this episode of the Patriots Report has been brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season with MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. They have all the latest stats, news, and scores available. You can follow your favorite teams, get all the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.